This week, I've been thinking about God's ways, and I want to start in Isaiah 55 and 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And you know, even this morning, then I was talking about Marcus and Chris's baby, Tiffany's baby, and we just have to go back to this and kind of set it in concrete in our minds. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, they're higher than your thoughts. And that took me to another song. Because whatever we're going through, I need to be able to always have this in my mind. God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. There's a big gap between how I look at things and how he looks at them. And then I went over here to song number 111, the first verse. God's way is best if human wisdom, you know, we can say, oh yeah, the worldly wisdom around us, but it's also my wisdom. If human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show, it's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. You know, I just thought about with what we've been talking about this morning. You remember we sent up some prayers before the baby was ever born to Marcus and Carissa because God was able to turn that around. You know, the baby was still in the process of being developed. God could step in and do it how he wants to. But you know what? At the end of the day, I've got to face this verse right here. God's way is best if my human wisdom seem to show a better way. What is my better way? I don't want anybody to have any problems in their life. I would just like for everything to be smooth sailing for everyone. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision, you know, this is as far as I can see. Yes. And many people, that's as far as they look at. If I can improve my situation here, I'm going to do it, whatever it takes to be able to do it. That's earth-dimmed vision. The truth about eternity out ahead for me and for all of us, the truth can never clearly know. So I was thinking, how many accounts in the Bible, if God had said, Dan, we need to come up with a solution for this problem right here, how would you do it? You know what? I would never have ended up with the way God did it. Here's one. Gideon. He comes up with 32,000 men to be able to go fight. And he's outnumbered maybe 5 to 1 even at that time. God's way is best if human wisdom. And so what did God do in his wisdom? He said, Gideon, you've got too many people. You got too many men. If they're scared, and they would be scared if it's maybe 5 to 1, let them go home. And 20,000, 22,000 or something went home. And God says, you still have too many men. You know, this is this contrast. God's ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So he says, and then he's still saying, okay, Dan, what would you do now? You're down to 10,000 men. Now what would you do? You know, I would put them out in the field and see who can sling a rock the best and pick those men. That's not what he did. He took them out. How do they drink water from the stream? And that's going to make the difference. And there's only 300 men left now. And he said, you've got the right amount. He even explained himself why his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He said, lest Israel should vaunt itself. If you were able to go out to battle this few against that many and you won, you'd walk away thinking, I really was able to pull one over on them. I had a good plan. But instead, God brought it down to a point where there is no way this is going to work through human wisdom. And then on top of that, he said, now you've got 300 men. What are we going to do for equipment to fight with? You know, we have automatic rifles now. You could get several people at one time. They didn't have that back then. And that wasn't God's plan anyhow. So what he said was, you're going to need a trumpet. You're going to need a light. And you're going to need a pitcher. And now you're ready to fight. And I think about that. God, so many times through the scriptures, has brought something down so close to where he says, I will not share my glory with another. That was way back there in the Bible, and it's also the same way today for us. He wants to bring it to a point to where we sang the song this morning, all the praises should be given to my Jesus. He's the one. And I want to always be able to remember that. I thought also of another one. Joseph lost out. We could look at it through human wisdom. He lost 13 years of his life being a prisoner. God looked at it different. He looked at it that I'm going, sending him through some special schooling because I've got something for him to do at the end. We look at this third verse. He leadeth true. Here's something for us to do. He leadeth true, I will not question. You know, if Joseph had spent time questioning God in those 13 years and let, what does it say, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. If he had done that, he would not have ended up being able to be beneficial to God and to man. He leadeth true, I will not question, though through the valley. You know, I never question it when things are going good anyhow. Though through the valley I shall go, though I should pass through clouds of trial and drink the cup of human woe, God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see. Most of the times we're never going to be able to see the end. We only see what it is today. Wherever he leads, I'm going to meekly follow. God's way is best for me. Then it says, here's another one for us. Fourth verse, God's way is best because there's something churning inside of me. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hands. And that can be for anything that's happening in our life, that we would be able to say to our heart, Stop your struggling here to see and know and be able to understand. Had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I'd go astray. Want to be able to recognize that. There is, Job went through some things, and in the first couple chapters he did so good. We will never know how long Job's trial went, except that it went for 43 chapters or something. But the first couple he did good. But time passes, and after a while, what does it say? Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. He came to the point where he wanted to see and know and understand. God, why are you doing what you're doing? I want to have an audience. I wish I could have an audience with you. I'd ask you some questions. Why is this going like it is? And God gave him that audience in Job. You know, and I would not want God to give me the same kind of audience. In Job, the 38th chapter, we're talking about God's ways being higher than our ways and me being able to understand it. Now God gives Job an opportunity. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Job, you can't see into the next 5 minutes, and you're saying that you'd like to talk to me about why I'm doing what I'm doing. It says, gird up now thy loins like a man. I'm going to demand of thee and answer thou me. And what's the first question he asked him? Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, you know, he's gone way out on the limb right now. Job just has to say, okay, I'll stop. If you will read these chapters, God for two chapters tells Job one thing after another. Job, where were you when I created these things? Bringing Job to a point where he says, Lord, okay, I see that you are in control of all things. And in the 40th chapter, I kind of look at this as God lets him come up for some air. And Job now has something to say. And it says, Job answered, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I'm going to put my hand on my mouth. I wish I hadn't said that two chapters ago. But then the Lord and says, once I have I spoken, yea, twice, I'm going to proceed no farther. I'm finished. Job says, I'm finished. And the Lord says out of the whirlwind, Gird up now thy loins like a man. I'll demand of thee and declare thou to me. Will you disannul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous in the things that happen in my life? Lord, help me to take something from this story about Job to the where I can read the two chapters about God dealing with Job and coming back to him. Now, you know, when this thing ends up in the 42nd chapter, Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything and no thought is withholding from thee. And what's that in the sixth verse? I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I'm thinking for us in 2025 when I would always like to be able to see and know and understand. And this one says, heart, cease thy struggling to be able to see and know and understand. I want to be able to recognize. There is a minister said this in the past. God is much better to reverence him than to question him.
Yes.
Just, he's up here and I'm down here. And I commit my understanding or not understanding, I commit that all to him. There is, on our song number 43, our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth, the sea, and the sky. He rules over all with majesty from his royal throne on high. What a mighty God we serve. So with Job, he was saying, Job, where were you? When way back there, whenever I created things, there is something else I want us to look at real quick. Because you know what? I'd like to profit from all these where I don't go to asking God. I'd like to have an audience with you because I know a lot of stuff and I'd like to talk to you about it. Look over here in Romans, the 11th chapter and in the 33rd verse. This is a good thing for us to get a hold of. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know, that verse right there puts me into having a lot of respect for God. His ways are past finding out. Look at that 34th verse. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? And who hath been his counselor? Who did God go to and say, you know what, I've been dreaming about creating the world. Can you tell me how to do it? Nobody was there for him. Or who hath first given to him and it shall be recompensed to him again? Who was it that gave something to God and now God owes him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. The great detail that was given by God in creation when all he said was three words, let there be, and it came to pass. There is another verse over in Psalms 33 and 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and this he gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We see in Jeremiah where it talks about the process of the clay and the potter. And there is a verse, it says, shall the thing form, this is in Romans 9 and 20. Can you imagine the clay on the wheel speaking to the person that's doing it? Why are you making me into this kind of pot or whatever? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? I can see that for us in 2025. Lord, will I go to the potter and say, Lord, why are you doing this in my life? I want to be able to have a respect, a reverence for him. Isaiah 64 and 8, we're the clay. You're the potter. We are the one that is being molded and shaped to let him do what he wants. Had I the choosing of my pathway, if I said, I want this vessel to be made this way, in blindness I would go astray. Paul has some things, the things that happened to me in my life, I have to come to the realization with his ways higher than mine, that everything that comes into my life is either allowed or it's planned by God. You know, some things God says, Dan, this is the best thing to happen in your life. Other things He allows it to happen in my life. Both of them are for my good. What did Paul say when all the trouble came to him? All of these things have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to Paul, you know, the trouble that he went through, he looked at those things and he saw them. Those things have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. The things that happen in my life are planned by God. But what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning, the things that happened in Jesus' life was a part of God's plan. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I want to look at, from start to finish, it was a plan of God of what Jesus went through. I look at this. Did the angels get a wrong address when they ended up singing those good songs and it was just shepherds listening? I'll punch in an address sometimes and GPS will take me to a place. I know this is not the right one here. They didn't do that there. God sent them with this message. He could have done it on the biggest day at the temple and presented Jesus to them in a way that they would all be impressed. Here is the things that happened in Jesus' life, start to finish, was a part of God's plan. And I am thankful for it because I can realize, you know what, the things that happen in my life are a part of His plan, and may I submit myself to those. You know, it was a part of God's plan that Mary and Joseph would not find any room at the inn. Was that coincidence that the timing was just like that? It was God's timing that it happened as it did. Part of His plan. And as I go through these next couple weeks, I want to be able to meditate alone in some secure retreat. The sky overshadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of Thee. And one of the thoughts that I'm thinking is, Lord, Your ways are higher than my ways. It was that way back with when Jesus was presented to the world. There is a verse over in Acts 2. 2:23. Now this is talking about Jesus' death, but I want us to also think about it for His birth. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was planned by God of how He would die. It was planned by God how He would come into this world. There is something that I have to set in concrete in my life for the things that happened to me, and it's found in Psalms 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. Yes. And you know what? No matter what happens, no matter how it happened, no matter who did it, as for God, His way is perfect. That's the number one rule. You know, we'll see sometimes at work a little sign that'll say, there's rules here at this place for you to work here. Rule number one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, if you think he's not right, go back to rule number one. And they'll just let you know what, we're not going to circle this thing around and you're going to go on and feel like you're right. Well, we're not talking about just a boss at work. We're talking about the God of the heaven, the creator of the universe. We can do the same thing with him. Ask for God, rule number one. Ask for God, his way is perfect. Rule number two, at any time the devil presents something to your mind to say his way is not perfect, go back to rule number one. His way will always be perfect. And there's another one that I've got to remember. It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Lord, I think Job was doing that. Job was saying, Lord, it seems like it ought to be this way. In all of your ways, though, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Those are going to be a benefit to me. Believing that Jesus' life was ordered by God, step by step. There is something else that we can learn from Jesus' life. Humility was a trademark of Jesus' life from start to finish. I thought of this. The first five books of the Bible was written by Moses, and there is some great detail given in those books. You ever thought about this? How did he write it? And when did he write it? Can you imagine compiling all the information, getting all the information together to be able to write those five books? Because he did great detail just in the things in the temple and how they would be, the instruction that God gave him. There was so great detail given to Moses. And you know what? In 2025, we still do not know what day Jesus was born. You know, you would think God would have said, we're going to have volumes given that's telling Jesus' life day by day. He did this day while he was a child. And you know what? There's nothing there. We don't. In fact, I was reading a commentary. It said there have been people not with knowledge that have put his birthday to be every month of the year. Somebody says it was January. Somebody said, no, it had to be February. Somebody every month. So we have to end up with God didn't see that to be the most important thing. I'm glad that we have a day, kind of like Thanksgiving Day, to remember it. But we don't get fixated on the day because we were pretty sure it wasn't that day. But what it also tells me is God was more interested in humility. Yes. To be born in a manger could not even, was it because they didn't have the money to do it? I think they had the money to do it. There's just no place to be able to go. And yet God spoke this world into existence. He could have made a castle come into existence right there. He could have caused him to be born, Jesus to be born of celebrity parents that everybody said, oh, this is some boy right here. His mama can sing and his daddy, he's real good at something. But instead, let me look at something. Let's look over here in Matthew. In the 13th chapter and in the 54th verse, Jesus comes back home again after many years. He comes to the synagogue and he teaches them 54th verse. And they say, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? We acknowledge, yep, he lived here before and he has got some kind of teaching and there's works that are following that. Here's this human reasoning, this human wisdom that steps in. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brethren are James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? So then how does he have anything to be able to show us? And what does it say? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. You know, what could have happened to them if they would have accepted him and laid aside their thinking of, yeah, we know his mama, she's the one poor lady. We know his brothers and we're sisters. He cannot be who he says he is. Look at what they lost. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. May we in our life not miss out on some of the things that God has for us, because I just do not see how it could be that way. So I look at the things that are recorded, very little record until Jesus started his ministry. And I believe there's a reason for that, that we don't spend our time focused on that. We spend our time focused on the teachings that he started to give us. But I look at these things, his birth. What a lesson in humility. The temple. After birth, a few days later, he goes into the temple. There's a couple people there that acknowledge this is the Son of God right here. But you know, even the chief priest, when Herod said, demanded of them where he should be born, they knew it's in Bethlehem. And the wise men went to see Jesus. And I never see anything about the chief priest saying, you know what, possibly this is the Son of God. Let's go see ourselves. Because my thinking says it couldn't be because we just got the news he was born in a manger, so this won't be him. You know, we can come to the same place that we discard some things because it doesn't fit what we see it to be. And what did Jesus have when it said even God told him, I want you to flee to Egypt? Why would the Son of God ever have to flee anything? Nothing could happen to him. But you know what? It was just part of this package, this plan that God had made. It looked like the Son of God would never have to be afraid of anyone. But God himself had a plan. And God himself also caused Jesus to be able to say this in Matthew 8 and 20. What kind of wealth did Jesus build up? He said, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. I look through these things, and I see a song over in Psalm 264. I ought to love my Savior. He bore my sin and shame. From glory to the manger, on wings of love he came. And then he teaches us, I want you to be like me. And I say, Lord, help me. Over in Philippians, the second chapter, and in the third verse, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ? You remember it says over in Matthew 20 and 26, he's left us an example. And look at this example, Matthew the 20th chapter and 26. You know, this is when the disciples are dealing between themselves of who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus says, 26th verse, it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And here we get to another little picture of God's plan and Jesus accepting that plan. 28th verse, even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I look at this, and you remember even the lesson that he gave us of the ordinance of feet washing. He didn't just say, I tell you what, I'm up here and I need to give you all a lesson because you need to be able to practice it out in the future. And I'm going to stand up here and tell you how to do it. No, he got down and he showed it by his own example. So I look at all these things. He could have told them, here's how you do it. But he showed them by example. God's way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was the love that he showed to us. That was his way. And he also said he's tempted like as we are. He went through difficult things like we are, and yet without sin. I would like for us to sing in closing. Damon, if you could get that verse. We're getting close to Christmas time. Joy to the world. While the world is singing about Santa's coming to town, I want to be able to see the true picture of God's way is higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His thoughts were, the best way that I can send my son is through humility. Folks, the best way that he's got for us is going to be through humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I look at some of the things, one of the verses of that song is, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. There was the messages that were given to the shepherds, good tidings of great joy. And you know, it talked about a multitude of angels singing. There's just a few shepherds out there to be able to appreciate it. There's a lot that the Lord wants to be able to show to us today. And what I want to do is, I want to be able to recognize a lot of it is going to come through me humbling myself. If Jesus, the Son of God, came in such humility, and it was God's plan that it be that way, it wasn't just an accident that they got there on the wrong day and a little late. You know, sometimes we can be traveling. We come into a town and there's a football game or something going on. We need us a place to stay, but there's nothing available. That wasn't what happened to Jesus. God had a plan that this is where he will be staying. This is the things that will happen to him. I want to be able to look at those over the next couple of weeks, and not just the next couple of weeks, but throughout my life. God has a plan for my life. Yes. The things, everything that comes into my life is allowed by him, or he has chosen for it to be that way. If it's allowed by him, he will still walk with me through that time.